0141 1025. It's time to talk football. It's Clyde One Super Scoreboard.
Good evening and welcome to Clyde One Super Scoreboard as we get set for a huge international doubleheader win in Cyprus tomorrow, and Euro qualification is all but done and dusted for Scotland. It sounds simple, but Andy Robertson says the players are just focused on the game in hand before England next week. A bit quieter on the domestic front, but I'm absolutely certain you'll find something to talk about there as well. I'm Gordon Duncan, and joining me tonight is Gordon DL and Mark Wilson.
Well, it's a huge night ahead tomorrow. England next week becomes a sideshow, and who would have ever thought we'd got in a position like that? Because we need to deal with the serious stuff, and the serious stuff comes tomorrow night away in Cyprus. If the boys get another result that would put us right on the edge of qualification, we would be so unlucky not to qualify from a group with 15 points. And I believe we're in the place now that we can be confident enough to go to places like Cyprus and be confident that we're going to get a result. Interesting thing, as always, with this Scotland side, when everyone's fit, team selection for Steve Clarke and formation, what will he go for? Will he go all out attack and try and win the game right away? I think he just might.
I agree with Mark. I think the national team's playing with a lot of confidence. Winning is a good habit, and they're in that good habit. It's all about the team tomorrow night, who he picks. But I'm sure whoever he picks, and he's got a strong squad to pick from, then I'm sure they're going to get the business done. Now, yes, you look at Cyprus, but you look at the game at Hampden, we scored two very late goals. So we can't take it lightly. But if we go about our business the right way, we'll have enough.
Come on down then, 0141 951 1025. That is the number you need. So let's hear from you tonight. If it is on the international front, how much are you looking forward to it? Will Scotland get the business done? Does it feel close? Have you booked your flights already? Are you allowing yourself to dream? Or are you doing that old Scotland thing we used to do of sort of fearing the worst and believing it when you see it? Let us know how you're feeling the day before the game. I'll get these two to try and pick a team. What would yours look like? Do you agree or disagree with theirs? Because there are a few decisions to be made in midfield area. A lot of players playing well. We know we're spoiled for choice at fullback areas. Even centre-backs rotated a lot recently and players have done well. So why not try and pick your team as well? Get in touch with all your thoughts on that usual number. If you want to talk club football, we'll absolutely hear from you. It's maybe just a bit more of a clean slate for you, because after a very busy few days, the dust, I think, is just about settling on that afternoon at Ibrox at the weekend. So if you've any proper last-minute thoughts, you can. Or maybe you're already looking forward to what comes next on domestic front, pick up the phone, 0141 951 1025. Tell you, we're still going strong, though. Last night, Wednesday night, still busy, busy on these phones with fallout, if you like, from Sunday's game. Not necessarily specifically on the game, but you know what it meant. Fallout, like I say, and where the respective sides go from here.
Yeah, well, it doesn't really amaze me that the fans are that passionate and won't let it go. I mean, most of the players, though, those who aren't on international duty, will probably, the majority, all be enjoying a nice break just now on a beach somewhere. But the fans don't get to escape it as easy as that, and it sticks with them for a long, long time. And I said the other night, international break's a funny one. If you end up well like Celtic and Motherwell, then you go away and you get the feet up and it's brilliant and you're looking forward to the next game but enjoying your break. But if you're a fan of a side, you know, like Rangers or Hearts, who have ended this first period of games with results that aren't good enough, then it gives people an awful long time to stew over it. So those fans will be desperate for the games to kick off. Scotland game tomorrow becomes, you know, an irrelevance to them. It's more about club stuff. But come kick off tomorrow, let's hope that everybody in this country is focused on our boys away in Cyprus getting a good result to take us to Germany next year.
Yes, whatever it is you've got for us, if you want to talk club football, you can. I know that even this close to the Euros, I know international football doesn't float everybody's boat, but still, surely even now we can get a little bit excited. And if you want to just talk domestic football, you can do. 0141 951 1025 on the line. I'll tell you what, let's cross live to Cyprus right now, shall we?
Clyde One Super Scoreboard Scotland updates with Moyer and Sweeney Litigation, the top team for your defence.
Andrew McLean is over there for us, and I have to say, what a trooper this guy is, honestly. Just doing the jobs that no one else wants to do. A few days in Larnaca at 30 degree heat whilst we are stuck here. How on earth did you manage to swing that?
Well, I had to go because if it was Gordon DL, it's only 23 miles from Ayia Napa, so that's not something that anyone needed.
These two would do an interesting Kevin and Perry impersonation, I'm sure. And how close to the beach are we talking here? Because I'm not having this that you're trying to spin this as some sort of work trip.
Oh, no, look, this is all very, very professional. Don't worry about that. But not to rub it in, though. I mean, Larnaca is right on the beach, but it is absolutely lovely here. It's about 33 degrees it was earlier in the middle of the day. I mean, it literally is, you know, luck of the draw when it comes to these types of things for Scotland fans. But, you know, for them to be able to come over here and enjoy themselves with it being right on the beach. And, you know, I was having a wander around earlier on, speaking to supporters, some of them on the beach in pubs and restaurants. You know, they're so busy. You see the saltires, the kilts, all sorts. And, you know, if that's not enough for the enjoyment, you know, they're coming to see a team top of their qualification group. It's an 8,000-seater stadium here, and I've been told that despite the fact that Scotland have, you know, been given just under 50% allocation, that I actually think it will be majority Scotland fans. There could be as many as 5,500 inside the AEK Arena tomorrow. So there's going to be more Scotland fans than Cyprus fans. So it's a fantastic backing. And no wonder, because, you know, it's a side unbeaten in 8 competitive games with the real chance of qualifying for Euro 2024 as early as next week. You know, Scotland have to win tomorrow night for that to happen. Spain also need to beat Georgia tomorrow night. And if that's the case, a draw between Georgia and Norway next Tuesday would seal it, just as Scotland play England in that friendly at Hampden. So that would be quite the occasion, wouldn't it? I was speaking to Cyprus boss Temer Kitsbaya earlier on. He said, as far as he's concerned, Scotland are already qualified. Andy Robertson was asked about that. He said fans are allowed to dream and have that license to dream, but says players don't have that same mentality.
No, we don't. You know, I think we've been quite clear on that message behind the scenes. I think the manager, me, all the experienced lads, it's not done until it's done. You know, we've been in this game long enough that, you know, we don't get carried away ourselves. We can let other people talk. It's good that our fans are believing that we're going to qualify for a major tournament. If they didn't believe that, then we would be doing something wrong. So it's good for them to believe, it's good for them to dream about going to Germany and watching us play in it, but I can guarantee that none of the lads in there are speaking about that. Until we have that qualified thing above our head within the group, then that's the moment that we start thinking about it. You know, we don't let the lads think about anything other than that. This game is massive for us on Friday, and if we get a win, then, you know, put us in a really good spot. And, you know, obviously then we can qualify without even playing and things like that, and that's what we're fighting for. You know, that's a pretty good position to be in, to be 5 out of 5, and but we have to work hard for it. So the lads aren't getting ahead of themselves, I can guarantee that, and it's up to us to perform on the night and, you know, hopefully try and cement our place to where we want to be.
Mark, Andrew's outlined the scenario. It is officially close. It could be days away. It's incredible to think that we've got ourselves in this position already.
Well, it's down to the players who perform on the pitch, but Steve Clarke, who's, you know, pulled together this squad over many years, and we were always going in the right direction. However, when the draw got made and you saw who we got pulled in with, I've got to say, I wasn't very optimistic about getting out of this group, never mind topping it 4 out of 4, going for 5 out of 5. So we're almost there. I mean, This thing that sticks with is, it's the most Scotland thing to fail at the last hurdle. I think we're beyond that this time, and I don't think I'm getting ahead of myself. I think we've got the players now who can deal with big games and get over the line in big games, even when they don't play well, like the Cyprus game at home. Weren't they playing well? But probably in years gone by, we would have ended up dropping points in that game, but we've got players that step up. So I think we're there. Andy's the gaffer, I should call him. The gaffer's right. By the way,
I'm sitting there with his AR26 jumper.
Yeah.
You know what, just struck me there.
I'll need to ask him for annual leave if we get to Germany. I'll need to say, can I get some time off to?
You need to ask him for a new tracksuit top.
I'm wearing this, isn't
it? It's a bit worn for that. Get a t-shirt. But
that jumper could make its way to the studio itself.
Listen,
honestly, I'm sick of the sight.
The hard work I put into this.
Another couple of weeks, that'll be in that charity shop. Don't you worry about that. But even Scotland can't mess this up. I agree with Mark. We're there. It's okay, one game at a time, and we won't get carried away. The players already know that probably with the start that they've had, the confidence they're playing, the squad that's they're looking at and the strength of it. The biggest problem for these players isn't worrying about Germany next year, it's about cementing a...
Look at this, absolute...
I don't know who's zooming in, but they're doing a good job of promoting the charity.
Yeah, a big orange top underneath. But it's certainly there.
Yeah,
there's no doubt.
And is that the mood, Andrew? You're seeing the difference, the party mood from the fans who know it's close, and then serious heads from the Scotland camp? You know, we heard from Andy Robertson there.
Yeah, I mean, I was speaking to quite a few fans earlier on. I was actually surprised at the response from a few of them asking about, you know, the game in particular tomorrow night. And there wasn't an air of confidence about a lot of the fans who have said, you know, they're hardened supporters. They've, you know, come to these games over the last 20 years or whatever, and they've seen Scotland slip up. So I think maybe it's just a natural thing for Scotland fans just to have that nagging feeling in the back of their head that at some point it's all going to go wrong. But, you know, I think, you know, on the surface, these Scotland supporters are really enjoying what they're seeing. You see the camaraderie amongst them. You see the camaraderie amongst the team as well. But as Andy Robertson says, you know, it's strictly business for the Scotland players at the moment. Andy Robertson says he doesn't really mind how they qualify. It doesn't, you know, need to be in a game where they get that feeling of elation at the end of it. He just wants them to qualify by any means necessary, and then the players can think about, you know, going forward, about potentially topping the group as well.
I mean, by nature, I am quite a nervous Scotland fan, so I get that. But then at the same time,
you're one of the worst to watch a Scotland game.
It's not great, but this group, you know, it's fine saying, oh, you know, I've seen all this over the last 20 years, but we've rarely seen a group like this group of players over the last 20 years. So I wonder how relevant that nagging feeling actually is.
Yeah, well, I remember us qualifying for our last tournament, and we had a group of players that were all experienced and got the job done. But there's been a huge gap in between where we've had maybe a couple of players in our squad who really stood out for the rest, but just wasn't good enough. But this group of players all playing at a really good level, but being together for quite a long time. I think I heard you mention when you looked years ago at the amount of caps we had, and there was very few between the squad, but Steve Clarke has then built that to these guys. Andy Robertson going for his 65th tomorrow is a huge amount of caps, and with that comes experience and know-how within these big games, and I think we're bearing the fruits of it now against the big hitters, Spain and Norway.
Do you not think we're in a good place? Because we'll pick our teams tonight, and I will guarantee you, everybody will argue, wondering, why did you leave so-and-so out? That's how strong the squad is. It's not just the starting 11, the squad's very strong. That's why we are there. The confidence is there. The manager's just brought that team together, that group of players. They're all working for each other. And, you know, they're proving that on the pitch with the results, Gordon. Yes, as I say, Cyprus was a late one with McTominay grabbing the two goals late on in the game. But to go in four games and pick up 12 points, astonishing.
I mean, Andrew, away from the game specifically, it's been a relatively low-key camp in terms of news headlines. That's kind of what you want. The only thing was people were interested to see Elliot Anderson get his first call-up. He then pulled out of the squad with an injury. Tongues got wagging to say, oh, does this mean that he might actually go back and commit himself to England in the future? What did Steve Clarke say about that?
Yeah, it is an interesting one. As you say, there was that excitement about the fact that it looked as if he'd picked Scotland over England. He's obviously an impressive young talent. He's making that impact at Newcastle. I actually watched Scotland under-21s play last year against Belgium, at a good Belgium side as well last year, and he was the best player on the park. But, you know, with that news breaking a couple of days ago that he'd returned to Newcastle after picking up an injury in training, obviously the questions then start to get asked about his international allegiance again. And interestingly, Steve Clarke said he didn't seek any assurances with the player about his international future.
Obviously, that's why we brought him into the squad. Disappointing to lose Elliot and Liam on the same day, but part and parcel of international football, you just deal with it. Obviously, we had to replace Liam because couldn't come with two goalkeepers, so we brought in young Robbie, he's been part of the squad before, he understands. Didn't need to replace Elliot because I've got enough midfield players.
I think some people might look at that and then fear about international allegiances and anything like that. Is that not a fear for you at all?
It's not something I can control, so there's not a lot I can do about it.
Did you seek any assurances from him at all, can you tell us?
No, we just went home.
he just went home. That sounds like you at the end of a night out, honestly.
Yeah.
You do that. You're one of them that just disappears.
Yeah, I would be a nightmare for Steve Clark. One minute I'd be there, I'd be in the team, they'd be working their tactics round about me, and then I'd just go home.
Anyway, thank you, Andrew McLean. Early bed tonight, big day tomorrow, remember?
Yeah. He's on the sunlight.
Andrew, have you been to Craig's bar yet?
Only 10 years ago, don't worry. No.
Yeah, you're selling there a good Scottish bar. That'll be full.
I think it'd be a bit louder if I was in there at the moment, but I'll tell you tomorrow.
Good man, Andrew McLean. Honestly, just he's a trooper.
He's
out
got
there
some job, isn't he?
Yeah. Let's bring in Gary, who's in Edinburgh. Gary, what are you thinking tonight?
I think Scotland's going to qualify, obviously needing 4 points. Obviously playing Cyprus as well, it's going to be well, it'll be a hard game, but see at the end of the day, see this, the whole group, I mean, we've done absolutely terrific. I mean, see, as a Scotland supporter, you're sitting there and you're still, to be honest with you, you're still shocked at some of the games. I mean, you're looking at some of the games that we've played in, and I mean, to get a result, especially against Spain, I just thought, I think it's been absolutely incredible, the journey that we've been on. And to be honest with you, we've came this far, and I think that we're going to make it to Germany.
Yeah, I mean, like Gary talks about the recent form, because, fine, Andrew McLean can say that he's spoken to fans, and some of them have been going for 20 years, so they know not to, not to get carried away and sometimes fear the worst. And we've all said that. But that's fancy for that group of players, that relatively young, relatively successful group of Scotland players. They're not scarred by any of that. Do you know what I mean? It's not like they don't carry that. With the best will in the world, they probably don't even remember some of it. And they certainly weren't involved as footballers. All they've got really going into their psychology tomorrow is recent happy memories of confident performances.
And that puts us in a great spot to be in. You're right. So many of our squad carried a hangover from before. So many were burdened by the pressure on their shoulders. You think of guys like Darren Fletcher, James McFadden, who really had to carry, you know, the weight of the country on their shoulders at times. But it spread throughout this team, and they don't have that weight of expectation, really. And maybe that's how we're getting to see them play with freedom against Spain, against Norway, second half against Norway, I've got to add. And Georgia, when we did get underway, some of the other big games, Denmark and things, we've seen a real different side to this team, a young, fearless team that can get results. And that's what's put us in this position. Gary's right. I'd be amazed if we're not in Germany next year now.
We'll definitely, and see, before I go, lads, because obviously we're on fine spirits, I'll tell you, see the whole qualification, it's been that good, but I'll see everybody watching back home that's sitting there nervous and that, I'll tell you, just get singing Flowery Scotland, I'll give you a rendition now on here. Are you ready, boys?
Batter in. Right. Don't make a mess of it.
Oh, flower of Scotland, when will we see?
Right, enough. Let's fade it down dramatically and it can play out. Honestly, this
is still
you stop it.
Take it away.
But tell England and stare again.
Right, I've heard enough. Well done. Gordon DL gets his golden buzzer out. It's a no from me. Thank you.
20 past 6 and we've got Flower of Scotland.
The night before the game. What a state we're going to be in by tomorrow. Thank you to Gary. This show never fails to amaze you, does it? 01491 1025. And there was me thinking the strangest thing I would possibly experience today was the sight of Gordon DL abseiling at Silverburn. I'll tell you more about that and take more of your calls next.
Clyde One Super Scoreboard. Listen and watch. Check the Twitter feed at Clyde SSB. You are the voice of Scottish football. Call 01419511025. Clyde One Super Scoreboard.
Mark Wilson and Gordon DL are here. It's 01419511025. So give us a call, please. I was worried that you weren't going to make it. I thought you were on your way out today.
Bad day.
Now, we've been talking about it for the last couple of weeks that the three of us were going down to Silverburn to abseil, all to raise money for Cash for Kids. It was a serious business, all for children right here on our doorstep that need your help. And by the way, thank you so much to everyone who donated. I'll tell you how much in just a second. It was an eye-opening amount of money, so we're pleased about that, certainly. However, you were in some state. Like,
well, you've got to understand, I've got a fear of heights, first and foremost, and why I was put up for this task, but as brave as I am, cash for kids, good cause, I decided to go along, but it wasn't a good experience at the beginning. And I'd like to apologise for the people round about, because while I was trying to be sick, they were trying to have a conversation, and I did basically tell them where to go.
What about the state team, honestly? Because he genuinely was.
Well, you're never sure how genuine that is.
And right? People are eating their dinner, but he had sick in his mouth at one point. He was like...
Oh,
and that
eyes.
Was before we started. That was down level.
I was the only one that got glasses.
Because we know him well, as soon as I turned up and I seen him, I thought, his face doesn't look normal here. And he's proper panicking.
Normal, but I know what you mean.
But when we get inside the fencing, and he says, I'm not feeling that good.
Did you see the staff?
And then
the staff from
he started
coming over
bulking,
with glasses of water for him.
And they had to feed him water, which he was shaking. But see, when we got there, not a lot of people would have seen it. Gordon... yourself, me, the photographer was up there. His face when he was going over the edge was unbelievable.
I'll tell you what, we've got a bit of footage. If you go onto my, if you're on Instagram, I think I put some stuff on my Instagram story. Check, go and look at it. That honestly, and I'll tell you what. What about him in his harness? kids there.
Well, it was good to see he brought his packed lunch well, just in case he was hungry.
I'll tell you
that
what.
That was your packed lunch well.
Why did you wear such thin tracksuit bottoms?
I'll tell you what, I'm not kidding you on.
That was outrageous.
Why, see, the fan club I had by 3:30 in the day. It was incredible. He pulled it that tight and I thought, what is going on? What is going on here?
I saw things that no man should see.
Nothing to the imagination.
You could have picked a thicker pair of trousers, though.
Yeah. Well, I didn't know I was going to get the harness shoved as far as where it came.
You've got to say, the guy did yank that harness.
Oh, yanked it? Jesus, man.
Yanked it. You feeling good about it now? Glad you did it? What was it, that like adrenaline rush? Was it a relief? Are you pleased after the event?
You're always pleased after an event, Gordon. I think the scariest moment, getting up was very, very difficult for me, obviously, the height. But I've got to laugh now, trying to get off the Cranach. my bum was off it, my back was off it, and my legs were still hanging on.
I think the guy had to just shove his legs off the side.
Oh, one of the worst of it
amazing.
Is he tried to tell me you thought he went fast.
Do you
remember the speed? It felt like you took about an hour. Honestly, the slowest I've seen.
I disagree with that. There was a lot of good comments at the bottom of how quick I went.
No, it was brilliant. We went for a bite to eat, a small bite to eat after it. Still can't eat. My stomach isn't feeling good after that.
But we achieved it and we raised good money.
£13,000 for Cash for Kids. Incredible. So thank you for your generosity. Obviously, it goes to places that really do need it. So as much as we can laugh at Gordon DL, well done to him. A man in his 60s conquering his fears, eh?
It's an inspirational story.
No, because
you've got to always throw that in.
No, because on the disclaimer it says, if you're pregnant or over 50, you should seek medical advice. And I know which one you're not, so...
I also said
on the thing, remember,
did shout up, Dazzler, you look pregnant.
You can't be under the influence on the disclaimer. And he said jokingly to the guy, I've had a few drinks, mate. The guy just thought he was serious, didn't he? He said,
you don't think you can go up then?
Anyway,
it was brilliant.
I think Mark and I have stuck some pictures and videos on Instagram. You can see them. And
I've none, unfortunately.
They're all of you. I've got a cracking action video of you at the top going down. Like your face just before you release the rope.
Your face was amazing, honestly. Yeah, I loved it.
People don't understand. Well, people that have got a fear of heights will understand what I went through, but.
Get a fear of a lot of things.
Yeah.
You know, claustrophobic as well.
I'm quite a frightened person. I don't know what happened to me in my childhood, but it's not going well.
I think that's a can of worms we probably shouldn't open just for everyone's. Everyone's own sanity. Let's bring in Nadim on the line. Nadim, how are you?
I'm good, Gordon. Just thinking about the thought of Gordon DL in a harness, the mind boggles.
Oh, it's grim. More than my mind boggled.
It's great. It's for cash for kids. It's all good. Yeah. My point tonight was about Elliot Anderson. I know these guys have touched on it already a little bit. I'm just thinking it's a bit of a Declan Rice situation, you know, where he played for Ireland and then changed his mind and then went to play for England. So I hope it's not. I hope, because he looks a good player. But my point was, even if he did switch allegiances and didn't play for us, I mean, our midfield, I think, is the strongest part of our team. You know, some of our players are, you know, we've got John McGinn, McTominay, you've got Christie, you've got Armstrong, you know, the boy at Bologna, you know.
Lewis Ferguson.
Lewis Ferguson, yeah. So, you know, Billy Gilmore as well at Brighton, he's playing brilliant just now. So I think our midfield is our strongest part of our squad. So if he didn't play for us again, I wouldn't be too bored. I mean, see, if he was fully fit and all our other players fully fit, he probably wouldn't get a start for Scotland anyway.
Not right now, Mark.
I was going to say that.
Yeah. I'm assuming that he's, you know, Steve Clarke wants him for good reason. Are you a cynic when it comes to this situation? He's just injured, he's just away up the road, and he'll be back in the next one? Or
I believe that.
Yeah?
I believe that. I don't believe he would go through the whole rigmarole of joining up with the squad and coming away and then have a change of heart and say, you know what, I'm going to hedge my bets here for England. If he didn't want to join Scotland, you would think he would be well advised, like, just park that and something else will come along. But I was going to say the same as you there, Gordon. He certainly wouldn't get in the side just now, as Nadeem's saying. But who knows where this kid will go if he continues to play in the Premier League for a huge club like Newcastle. It's not long before you then become the big star and all of a sudden Steve Clarke has to find a way to get you in the side. You know, you look at Gilmore and you look at McTominay and McGregor, you know, all doing great at the minute. But form, you know, it's temporary, can come and go, and if Anderson keeps going the way he's going, then he could be the one that takes the place. But I think he'll still be there for selection.
I mean, he's 8 years younger than John McGinn, who, well, it must be a similar story then with Callum McGregor, maybe even a touch more, Gordon. So it's definitely one for the future. Are you as understanding as your colleague here, or do you think is there something?
No, I'm the same boat as Mark. And I obviously listen to Steve Clarke. I like Steve Clarke's attitude. Basically, listen, he wants a boy. He's 20 years of age. He's going to be a star, this lad. Terrific footballer. He's there to get the experience round about the Scotland squad. He's obviously picked up an injury. He's went back down the road. That happens in football, unfortunately, for him. But I think Steve Clarke...
He just went home.
Yeah.
Said Steve
basically,
Clarke.
That's what you do. You just down the road. But I think Steve Clarke's in the sort of attitude, look, yeah, we'd love to have him on board, but look at the squad we've got. I think Steve Clarke's got a bigger headache trying to get the right 11 on the pitch tomorrow night. He's got that much quality. Do we want more quality? Of course we do. Of course we do, especially at that age. I'm with Mark. I think the lad will be back in the next squad and he'll go from there.
And having the quality like him about, Taz is right, pushes guys like McGregor, McTominay, McGinn to keep their performance levels up. If they know they've got guys 8 years younger than them willing to take their place if they outperform them in training, then we get the best of the guys that we're used to seeing at the minute. So it all feeds in quite nicely to Steve Clarke's plan that he's picking these younger players to come in and challenge what, when he took over, were younger players at the time. So it's the way it has to be. International football, it's a cutthroat business, and I think Anderson will be back in the next squad.
Yeah, we do have players in some good places at the moment, Nadeem, don't we?
We certainly do, Gordon. Just going back to what you were saying there about the fact that he's injured and he's gone home, I'm not disputing that. I just think because his first call-up and to be part of the international setup, it's happened before where boys have got injured but still stayed with the squad, you know, just to get that experience and soak up the atmosphere. So why would that not be the case? Why would they not stay with the squad, you know, and soak up that? But yeah, you're right. We've got some great players throughout our squad, and I think we'll give Cyprus a bit of a going over tomorrow night, and hopefully next Tuesday we'll have qualified and the way to Germany.
Absolutely, I get where Nadeem's coming from, Mark, and maybe that can be the case sometimes. But an away game, Cyprus, he pulled out before the squad flew out, so it's not like he flew home. He was still here. Yeah. I don't know. Especially with Newcastle wanting to look after him.
That's it. They pull rank. It's not a holiday camp where guys can just say, "Oh, Cyprus, I tell you what, I'll come and sit on the beach and I'll get treatment for the Scotland physios." Scotland physios have to concentrate on the players that are fit and ready to go there. Newcastle will want him back to get him fit for their games coming up. So probably in these situations, you don't get much of a choice. you get dictated to. You're not fit to play, you're staying behind and you're back to your club.
Thank you, Nadeem. Let's bring in John in Knightswood, see what's on his mind. John?
Yeah, well, just tell me about Mark Wilson. I don't know what he's doing with Scotland, but he's got to kind of curb his enthusiasm a bit. We're not there yet. I remember Iran in 78, so I'd never count my chickens until they're there, they're hatched.
That's it. We are, right, as a nation, we are scarred. Yeah. Calm down. Calm you're not down, remembering
John,
Iran.
John, you're
in
not
70.
Bringing me. No, that's, fortunately, I wasn't alive in 78, but no, I'm not calming down, John. I'm you know what? Because I've been down in the dumps enough with Scotland through my life. I'm quite enjoying.
And that was just trying to get on the pitch.
That
for
was
a
me.
Cap.
it's
one more than us.
I'm riding the crest of the wave, John. I'm going to be optimistic. Hold on. Are you saying we're not going to beat Cyprus tomorrow then?
No, I'm hoping we do.
I so mad. But do you believe we will?
John's saying, but don't count your...
I never put them on my curtain because I don't want to jinx them.
Don't count your chickens before they cross
well,
the road.
Bet in Cyprus responsibly. Hedge your bets.
You're too young, Mark. Gordon Dale, like myself. You know, I mean, we remember these things, you know.
You remember Iran, 78?
Oh, yeah. I remember a lot of times.
I mean, Iran had to score an OG for us to get a point. You know what I mean?
But this is life as a Scotland fan, because with the best will in the world, there's literally no relevance for tomorrow. Mm. But it's just proof that, well, bad things can happen, so they might happen again.
Yeah.
Is that what we've got
look,
to?
If you're of John's vintage, yes, you can recall those bad times and when you were promised so much and then let down. We've all been there at that time. But I just think it's different. I think they've started this campaign. Look at the goals they're scoring. Look at the teams they're playing against, the confidence they're getting from that. They've got 12 points in the bag already. Scotland, even Scotland, at their very worst years and years ago, they can't mess this up, Gordon. I'm with Mark. I'm positive. Mm-hmm. They're going to Germany, guaranteed.
Even though, and I'm not trying to put the disaster scenario out there, but it's also, we're in such a good spot that there is time. There would be time. Say it was a draw. Say it didn't go to plan tomorrow. That doesn't even mean that your qualification hopes are over. In such a good position to start with.
Yeah, time to recover if things don't go to plan.
But let's not.
We don't want that. But by the way, how many times have years gone by? You know, similar to what John's saying is we've left it. I always remember Georgia away. Was that the one that sticks in my head that we went there and yes. we got beaten? There was no time left to recover. That was us. We were done. Well, it's not the case this time. We started that well. But what makes it so satisfying is that Spain and Norway away games in there.
Yeah.
Ridiculous results when you think of what Scotland's produced over the years compared to that. It's just a different place.
So on paper, that's like what your kind of second and third hardest games of the group. Yeah, because in whatever order you want that. So Spain home and away,
of course,
and not like Norway away would be your sort of.
And you're going, it's not even a depleted Norway side. You've got the main man there who actually scores on the day, and still
good when they took him off though, wasn't it?
I know, great. So hopefully he's not about for the return leg. But is that the last game? Norway
the last
at home.
Game. Yeah.
Hopefully it's done and dusted by then.
What I will say just quickly, Mark, is I'm so confident. I'm with you, but see tomorrow night. We've got to go out and keep playing to that standard, keep working, keep that winning mentality about the players. But it'll be difficult. Any away game will be difficult. Mm-hmm. Cyprus showed at Hampden that they're decent at times and they can cause you problems. So if they get and play their capabilities and the squad that they've got and, you know, what is at Steve Clark's disposal, I think they will get the job done tomorrow.
Certainly do hope so. Thank you very much to John, even though he's put a big cloud over the full thing. John, hopefully it's a good night for you. 01419511025. Let me tell you about this before we go further. Make me a winner. I'll tell you what, well done to our latest Make Me a Winner player, Liam. You could certainly get a wee trip to Larnaca on 56 grand, couldn't you?
Oh,
you'd make a good go of nice it over trip. There. He was up a ladder when his call came in, so he jumped down and ran to grab his phone. I'm glad he didn't answer it at the top of the ladder. Saying that, you were up higher than a ladder today on your abseil.
Yeah, I get down quicker.
Now, we could make you the winner of £60,000 tomorrow when we make another call, but you obviously need to be in the draw. So text YES to 61025. Texts are £2 plus your standard network rate. You can enter at Clyde1.com and the online entries cost £2. as well. Or you can call 0330 880 4523, and those calls are charged at a standard rate. It's over 18s only, and all the rules for this network competition can be found online. If you get the call, this is the important bit, if you get the call from us after 3pm tomorrow, Friday the 8th, answer within 5 rings and say, "Make me a winner," straight away. Practice it.
Make me a winner.
Easy as that. And it'll be £60,000. Text YES to 61025.
0141 951 1025. This is Scottish football's league leader, Clyde One Super Scoreboard.
Gordon Dalziel and Mark Wilson are here. So 0141 951 1025. You're getting a lot of interesting feedback on Instagram there. I don't tend to check Instagram during the show, too distracting. Not you know, mostly
me
on Twitter,
Mark,
for the football stuff. But because of your abseil today,
I hope there's no criticism.
I decided to go on it. Where are we? Storm Athletics, great work. We're all big fans of the show, especially the Dazzler.
Well done, Storm. Keep listening.
I don't really like that.
I'm with you.
Ryan Kearney says he wasn't lying about the naked attraction comment on Tuesday. Better move swiftly on beyond that one.
It was impressive.
And my favourite one was, where was the one that was slagging your head?
My head?
That sounds good. I read
PM
as that one.
Says, tell the Dazzler to get a darker hair dye in future. Big man sitting there like a floodlight.
I think Don Barnett's like not bad.
Right, it is bright, like, when that light reflects off it.
I kind of got that.
I know it's radio for people, but
pick your team for tomorrow. How are you fitting all those either in form or players that have done well for Scotland recently? How are you fitting them all into 11?
You talking to us? Sorry, it was because you were...
No, no.
It's because he was looking at the screen. That's there. I thought you had a caller.
This is why
there's nobody
else here.
This is why we're on
thanks
here.
Thanks for reminding me. Okay, I'm going 4-3-3.
Oh, don't.
I'll nonsense. Go gun.
But it doesn't change his formation,
does
I'll
he? Go don't gun. Nonsense. I'll go Hickey right back, Robertson left back, Henry and Tierney.
It's just Tierney's
backs.
Going into the centre of a back four. Yeah, so you've,
we'll get
you've
bin
the back three off.
Yep. Right, okay. We will go McGregor, McTominay and Gilmore. Mixture of how you want to play that. One sitter and two ahead.
Okay.
And then I'll go in front of them. I'll go John McGinn. I think Christie might play because he's done quite well. She Adams fit, fully fit?
Yeah.
Adams up front.
Is Christie in your team? Yeah.
Aye. Yeah.
Right, run that past me quickly again. Just quick this time.
12, Hickey, then. Henry, Tierney, Robertson, McGregor, McTominay, Gilmore. Then I'll go Christie, McGinn, Adams.
Okay. So you're needing your width for those fullbacks?
Yeah, fullbacks will be up and down all day.
I don't hate it.
You'll love this.
Poor Lyndon Dyke, so I mean, what a job he did in the last.
He did do well.
Out
in
Norway.
Did, I know.
Yeah.
I think Adams is a better player all round.
I do agree, he's in my team as well, but I'm going McGinn and goals. I'm sticking
brave,
with,
yeah, good on
I'm,
you.
I'm sticking with the back three, Gordon.
Right, okay then.
Because it's very hard. Portis. Hanley's fitted, I take it, yeah?
Is Hanley in the squad? Why is that just dropped out of my head? Anyway, carry on.
Right, and Tierney is the three. The two wing backs will be Hickey and Robertson. My midfield three will be Gilmore, McGregor, McTominay, with McGinn just off Adams.
Very defensive for a game against Cyprus. Yeah. So you're going three at the back when there's going to be one up for Cyprus.
Hanley's not in that squad, by the way.
Well, Henry, sorry. I've got Henry down there.
So Henry, Porteous
and Tierney.
And Tierney.
You've got two guys from Tierney and Porteous that will step forward.
Sure, okay.
And play with the
listen,
ball
as long
all
as you
day
can
long.
Justify it.
Yeah, yeah.
Who's the fullbacks? Hickey and Robertson.
Hickey and Robertson.
Right, and then
my midfield, Gilmore, because I think he's in form with Brighton. You've
brilliant.
Seen that. McGregor, McTominay, speaks for itself. McGinn, just off Adams. I'm happy with
don't
that.
Don't mind that either.
So the real only difference is he's putting in a centre-half Portis instead of an attacker like I've put in Christie.
So you play in the front foot and he's ultra-cautious, basically.
I know who we're up against and what kind of form we're in. He's went defensive, which might be the right
I've
way.
I've not gone defensive.
You put three centre-halves in there.
No, no, I've gone with a nice balance. I'm going with the formation that the Scotland manager knows his players are very comfortable with.
He played that way against Norway.
Right. He plays with a back three, Mark. That's his preferred system. You know that, I know that, everybody knows that. I'm and he'll sure. play that tomorrow night. It's not defensive if you've got your centre-backs, your right and your left, like Tierney.
Tierney's joining the, in all over
yeah,
the place.
Exactly.
Okay.
It causes a problem, overloads in the middle of the park. Now I know why you were at Brecon, my friend.
Oh, we're just about to bring in Jim and he's disappeared. Where's he gone? Let's get Jim back if we can. Or if you want to keep your calls coming in, disagree with these two, surely. 01419511025. What are you pointing at, Mark Wilson?
I'm just seeing the Northern Ireland. Was that Northern Ireland team there, Conor McMenamin? Yeah, starting St Mirren. Yeah, started the season well. Yeah, that's it. That's what I was pointing at. Okay. Conor Hazard on the bench, though. There's the name, a blast for the past.
Let's bring in Jim, who's back. Hi, Jim.
Hello there. How are you doing?
Good. How are you? How are you feeling about tomorrow?
Oh, I think we'll do an absolute job on the guys tomorrow. I think our squad is far, far too strong. The team that they're built up now has got hundreds and hundreds of confidence and they're playing as a unit. They're not, don't get me wrong, they're not the most talented I've ever seen in my life. They all play for each other, play in the 90 minutes, and I think we'll just be too strong for them.
I love that. I hope that's what Steve Clarke says just before I go. Lads, listen, you're not the most talented team I've ever seen, but you're all playing for each other. I wonder if we actually are maybe quite talented now in certain areas.
Yeah, kidding on?
Don't get me wrong, we have got a lot of good talented players, but I think the team unit we've got to know is absolutely brilliant. I think they'll just have too much for Cyprus tomorrow. I think we'll do a job on them. I think we'll take about 3 or 4 off them tomorrow night.
Don't get me wrong, look, there is a bit in that, in the sense, like, you take someone like Lyndon Dykes, what a job he's done for Scotland, you know, so probably sort of punches above his weight when it comes to contribution for Scotland. So I get where Jim's coming from. Some of them speak for themselves. Andy Robertson, given that he doesn't really play much club football until last week, you could say, well, Kieran Tierney's best stuff of recent times has to have come for Scotland, really. And others that have stepped up, you know, people that even had question marks over them about whether they could, someone like Ryan Porteous or guys who've gone
Hickey
in there.
For instance, who I think he's been different class since he came
to
in.
To be fair, Hickey's doing that though, isn't he, at club level as
well,
really?
Yeah, because you've got somebody like Patterson at Everton breathing down his neck. I agree with Jim the caller there about, you know, the togetherness is absolutely brilliant in a squad. You've got to admit that. But that doesn't win you games alone. You've still got to have the talent. You've still got to have the players. You've got to have the game knowledge. That team's full of it. It's full of good footballers, good defenders, good athletes that can go up and down the flanks like Robertson and Hickey. We're talking about Dykes there. I've not even got him in my team, and I feel sorry for the fact that that shows you how big a job that Steve Clarke's got. And I said at the top of the show, it's not just about picking the starting 11.
Forget him. One of your favourites. Stu,
I know, I had a look. Stu played the last
that
time.
That shows you the strength. If you, it is a good way of measuring strength sometimes. If if left out tomorrow is Nathan Patterson, Stuart Armstrong, Lewis Ferguson,
Dykes,
and then maybe Ryan Christie. For one of you had Christie out, didn't you?
I had Christie in.
You've got him out. You know, somebody must have
Ryan Jack, for instance. Was
Ryan Jack
another
left
one
out.
That
someone must have.
That I looked at there as well.
Do you have Ryan Porteous left out?
I left Porteous out.
Done
yet.
So well in the last game, so yeah.
And you've got to say, guys like Ferguson, they're playing.
Scored against Juventus last week.
Exactly. So it
playing well just
you,
now. Him.
Exactly.
He must be
Elliot Anderson. Then
he must be gutted that when he looks at the list of midfielders ahead of him. You know, at a time to come into the Scotland side, he's got so much talent ahead of him, and he's doing all he can over there. But that's the way really an international team should be. It's just we've never been used to it for about 20 odd years that we don't get real competition for places. Now we find ourselves, we're there.
Who could forget? Kenny McLean. Hero of Oslo.
Yeah. I'll tell you something, Gordon. We could go to the end of the show and people come on here. I don't think anybody will agree with Mark's team or my team. They'll have their own teams.
Well, tell them what you think. Is that the case? 01419511025. So you've got Germany, you've got it circled in the calendar, Jim, yeah?
Yep, I've got that circled right in the calendar right now.
No doubt about it. It's getting done.
No doubt about it. That's done and dusted. That's a given.
Okay, I like your confidence. Thank you very much to Jim. Do you want me to round off the first hour with some gentle poetry?
Oh no, it's no creek. Oh,
yeah, Curious Creatures has been on, inspired by your ab sale. So by the looks of it, a lot of people have been looking at that Instagram story that I put up of you. And Curious says, the face of utter terror as Daz began to climb, he knew he'd be the victim of another witty rhyme. The trousers he selected, a little suspect, some would say, because it meant the mini Dazzler and his two pals came out to play. Which takes us up nicely to time for this. Beat the pundit with the Scottish Sun. For the best.
Best football news and opinion online. TheScottishSun.co.uk/football.
It was an astonishingly tight harness, I must admit. If you want to play Beat the Pundit, now is your time to call. You have to phone before 7 o'clock. You dial 0141 951 1025, and it could be you taking on Gordon DL or Mark Wilson at Beat the Pundit next.
Tackle the headlines. 0141 951 1025. Clyde One Super Scoreboard.
Gordon DL is here. He's still, he's okay. He's looking a bit better. A bit of colour returned to his face after the ab sale earlier. Mark Wilson still alongside him, and both waiting for you to get in touch. A bit of discussion about the Scotland game coming up tomorrow. We heard from Steve Clark, we heard from Andy Robertson. These two have picked their team, but I wonder if you would agree or disagree. Who would you go for tomorrow? Do let us know. And this might be a good time as well, if you do think I'd rather just talk about domestic football and come up with a point that's all of your own, please do it. Give us a call right now and we will play this first.
Beat the Pundit with the Scottish Sun.
For the best football news and opinion online, thescottishsun.co.uk/football.
Right, Beat the Pundit time. It's been a bad week for the listeners, I have to say. It's 3 out of 3 for the pundits, which is not ideal. Never liked that type of run. However, Mark Wilson has lost his last 3 in a row.
Is that 3 in a row? Yeah. Is that really?
You're having a nightmare.
That's no good.
Is it?
Apparently so.
One on Tuesday again. I'm holding us together.
You're
come on.
You're churning them out.
Chip okay. In, please.
It's incredible. Right, let's bring in Laurie, who's on the line. Hi, Laurie.
Hello there. How you doing?
I'm good. How are you, more importantly?
I'm okay, thanks, Gordon. I'm all right.
Good. Ever played before?
Never.
Nah, listen, these two.
Laurie sounds clever.
They'll go easy on you, but they have no other setting, so you'll be fine. Heads, it will be Mark. Tails, it will be Gordon DL. And it's tails. Good. It's really good news because he was a loss. He's been terrible.
Laurie does sound smart. You can just usually tell with people's voices.
It's good news for Laurie. Saying that, I'm £6 lighter. I'm in for it
after your abseil.
All the best, Laurie.
Right, all the best.
Don't panic and pass quickly if you don't know the answer.
See, that's my bit. Right, let's give Gordon DL some greatest hits radio to listen to. Right, Laurie, 30 seconds. Answer as many as you can. And as he says, if you don't know the answer, you can pass and move on, okay?
Thanks.
Right, let's do it then. Your time starts now. Which Scottish Premiership club is the oldest in the league?
Rangers.
Who scored 2 goals the last time Scotland played Cyprus?
McTominay.
Lee Griffiths currently plays football in which country?
Australia.
Who's the only team in Scotland who've not got a point yet?
Pass.
True or false, Forfar Station Park is actually 14 miles away from the nearest train station?
True.
Who were the last team to score against Scotland men's team?
Spain.
Okay, let's bring back Gordon. Can you hear us? You ready?
Yeah, mate. Yeah.
Good, same set of questions. What are you more terrified of, this Beat the Pundit defeat that you might be about to face, or the ab sale earlier?
Oh, the ab sale. All day long.
30 seconds
on
the
clock. I don't think you'll do well here.
No.
Tough.
Ready? Your time starts now. Which Scottish Premiership club is the oldest in the division?
Celtic.
Who scored 2 goals the last time Scotland played Cyprus?
McTominay.
Lee Griffiths is currently playing football in which country?
Australia.
Who's the only team in Scotland who's not got a point yet?
Edinburgh FC.
True or false, Forfar Station Park is actually 14 miles away from the nearest train station?
True.
Who were the last team to score against Scotland men's team?
Norway.
Laurie, he sounded surprisingly good there, didn't he?
He did. I didn't quite pick up his last answer.
I said Norway. If it comes to
okay, let's find out. Let's find out. Hold on, because you didn't start great. The oldest team in the league. What did you say, Celtic?
Yeah.
I mean, do you not remember Motherwell's is even before that, isn't it?
Wasn't
and it's not
born,
Motherwell
then.
Either.
No, right. Okay.
Kilmarnock, 1869.
Nah, no. If Laurie gets that,
no,
I'll take that ball
Laurie
to him.
Laurie didn't get it either.
No,
who
Laurie.
Scored 2 goals the last time you played Cyprus? It was Scott McTominay. You both got it. You both got Lee Griffiths in Australia. How on earth did you get this next one right? Or are we giving him it? He said Edinburgh FC.
Oh, come on.
That's a good shout. I would
no, they were
that.
Called FC Edinburgh recently.
Yeah.
I would give them that.
Edinburgh City, they went back to Edinburgh City.
Well, Edinburgh City FC.
We give them that.
I would. It's I'm harsh on them, but it's a good answer.
It's such a good shout. Where have you pulled that from?
I've no idea.
I'm not getting that. So was that a guess?
A total guess.
So you had 42 teams to guess
total
from?
Total guess.
Get to the casino tonight.
How did you manage that?
A total guess. I've got to be honest, I'm not taking any credit for that. Total guess.
That's incredible then. That's even more impressive in a weird way. Oh, right, Laurie, what chance have you got if he's producing guesses like that?
No chance.
He goes one in front. True or false, Forford Station Park is actually 14 miles away from the nearest station. It is. Indeed, you both got it. So he stays one up. And he even had time to stretch it because see, Norway is correct. No, Laurie, you just met a man in form. There's not much you can do about that, is there?
No.
You can't, Laurie. Thank you, Laurie. Unlucky, my friend.
I'm not going to criticise him.
He came on here. He gave me a good game. Unfortunately, he wasn't good enough, but. He lives to fight another day.
Laurie, what about your team? You're a Celtic fan. You'll be happy this week. Is that an understatement?
Definitely, aye. Brilliant. Wasn't expecting a win, but there you go. It's a good, great result.
Do these fixtures help me understand the sort of emotional bit that comes from both fan bases? Does that flip everything on its head? Because you said, you know, you weren't confident. So you were in a bad place with Celtic, if you like, before the game. Is everything fixed? Is that the way these games work? Or... is there still a lot of progress to be made?
No, I don't think ever. Well, I mean, obviously the St Johnston game was a bad result and a poor performance, but it certainly fixed a lot of the stuff. But we'll see how we go, and there's a lot of things positive moving forward. Champions League draw and whatnot.
Magic these games, Mark.
Well, it is, but I think within the game Celtic played a lot better than they had done in previous weeks anyway, especially the first half. The second half they just had to dig in, but it's funny how like a home game against St Johnson just still sticks in supporters' heads because it was so glaring, the performance was so poor. But this does, or the victory at Ibrox does go a long way to putting you on the right path, you know, gives you a bit more grace with the supporters. If it was the opposite way around, if it was 1-0 Rangers, then it would have been a whole host of different calls we took this week, but Brendan Rodgers can go away in his holidays and put his feet up and relax a bit, knowing that the Celtic supporters are the happiest lot this week. But it just goes to show you the power of these games. You go away to your greatest rivals and win, then you get a lot of goodwill in the tank for the weeks to come.
Take all that on board. But if I was a Celtic fan, I'd be looking at the start of the season thinking, there's still a massive improvement, and I'm sure Brendan Rodgers knows that. Yes, whoever loses that game comes under pressure. Fortunately enough for Brendan Rodgers, he won the game. It's Michael Beale that's coming under a lot of pressure from his own supporters. That's just the nature of the beast when it comes to Rangers Celtic games. But I've not been overly impressed with Celtic, I've got to say. I think there's still a bit of work to be done there, and I'm sure that they'll be working very hard to make sure when they come back for the international break, they're really off and running.
Thank you to Laurie on Beat the Pundit. It was a valiant effort, but listen, he just came up against a man in form.
It's good, isn't it?
You've
good
got victory, literally no chance if you're producing those types of guesses.
I don't know where I got that. I've no idea.
You don't even know anything about who's manager, Edinburgh?
No idea.
You don't know anything. Where do they play? What league do they play?
Apart from Edinburgh.
They play in the third.
The what's now being
second,
called that?
The second.
Which means
Championship,
years.
First Division, Second Division.
League Two, you mean?
League Two.
No, but they don't.
But they'll get promoted last year to League One, and they're now a good League One side.
This is making it even more extraordinary, the guess.
Sensational, honestly.
It's just a blank light in your face. I've seen a lot of your facials.
Do you know some? I just thought of a team that probably a low team. I'm not being disrespectful, but just like say, the first thing that came into my head was probably Albion Rovers, and then I realised they weren't in the leagues. But
yeah, don't pick them.
And then I went Edinburgh just as a guess. But look, sometimes a lucky guess is as good as any guess.
Yeah,
that's the worst saying ever. I was wondering where you were going with that. Lucky guess is as good as any guess.
Yeah, that's not a great statement, is it?
It's as good as I'm giving tonight.
It's not going to catch on, I don't think.
I like your sayings when you just make them up the spot.
Dreadful, really. 0141 951 1025. Get involved in the discussion, please. That's what Josh has done. How's it going, Josh?
How we doing, lads? You all right?
Not bad. Where are you tonight? You're from Irvine, but you tend to follow Scotland around the place. Where are you?
No, I'm nowhere. I've not lived in Irvine for ages.
Right.
I live in Battlefield.
But, no, that's nowhere near Irvine. It says Irvine on my screen. You just moved to get closer to Hampden, didn't you?
It's absolutely magical in home games, by the way. I'm more insight with this time, guys, because funny, I mean, at the start of the fixtures, when we looked at the kind of list and we decided what games we were going to go to, we didn't actually think this would be one that was of too much importance.
True.
In terms of, do you know what I mean? Because it was right in the middle. But I wanted to ask the guys a question that was posed to me the other day. So you have two options. One, you can beat Cyprus on Friday, guaranteed 3 points, and lose against England on Tuesday. Or option B is you get a point against Cyprus, but you're guaranteed to beat England on Tuesday.
Oh, I do like it. I like the question.
Beat Cyprus for me.
You sure?
Aye.
100%.
I'd like to beat England as much as anybody, and all the superstars they have and the arrogance that comes with our game, but you need to put that to one side when we've no regular qualifiers for tournaments. I said at the start of the show, we need to concentrate in serious business.
I know.
And the serious business is qualification.
Are you option A?
No, I'm just listen, it's just that you've got to assess both sides of the argument. Josh, it's, you know, you get a point against Cyprus, you're still in pretty good nick to qualify.
And you beat England, which will make it a terrific 4 days.
What if we're talking 4-0? Does that swing you at all?
Beat England 4-0. Yeah.
You know what I mean? If it's a really good victory, would it change your mind?
I'm sticking by
Josh,
the qualification.
What's your verdict, Josh? These two are too serious tonight.
No, I mean, I'm fully with the guys. To be honest, yeah, it's going to be about pragmatism and getting the qualification, even though we're only kind of 2% unlikely to qualify or whatever it is. It's going to be about pragmatism. And the thing is, anyway, I'm not really bothered about beating some, you know, rubbish wee pin-pot League B team in England. You know, so I'm quite happy to go out, do the business against Cyprus, and then give that wee team their wee day at Hampden on Tuesday.
We should be serious about it, but that obviously Josh was part serious, part having a wee kick, which is fine. I think we don't mind that.
Why not just beat the two of them?
Yeah, exactly. That could be a strange night on Tuesday then, where Scotland can qualify whilst play England. Mm. Let's say Josh doesn't get his wish and Scotland lose on Tuesday, but still qualify. Or the real dream scenario, as you say, win them both. And it could be a good night on Tuesday. So I suppose that's what the next couple of days is all about.
Well, get the serious stuff out of the way, which I think we will do. But England, by the way, the way we're playing at home, the players, the form they're in with our club teams, get every chance against England.
Yeah.
And if we go in off the back of a good result with that kind of great mentality, that great feeling that we'll fall winning against Cyprus, then we'll be a different Scotland through even the point that we got at Hampden. Yeah. You know, full optimism.
I still wouldn't mind if,
you know,
like Jude Bellingham that decided just to take the night off. And because we are good, that's the thing.
He's
we
in
can
some
mix
form
it, but it would still be nice just to leave him. Just
unreal.
Stay up the road.
What a signing that's been for Real Madrid.
It's
been
absolutely. But speaking of them, do you see their pitch? Their new pitch.
Stadium,
oh my goodness. Got a retractable pitch. You seen that?
No.
See, that's the difference for your day to this day. You were playing in Cowfields and they're
Josh, what sort of, how are you fitting all these good players in tomorrow, Josh?
To be honest, I just on what the Mushroom was saying there, actually, I agree with him. On Tuesday, we've got every, you know, how good we're playing and how good the team is, we've got every chance of beating England. But I don't know, I think, I mean, it's been the same team basically for the last three or four games, hasn't it? I mean, literally the same team. So I'd be happy to, you know, just go again with this team, go with the back three of Porteous and Hendry and Tierney, and you know, the rest the same, because I think if it ain't broke, don't fix it. And while there's other guys that are doing really well, you know, Lewis Ferguson at Attlee and all the other kind of you know, Patterson's doing well at Everton, etc. I just think it's hard to change a winning formula, and I don't think that Clark will. But I mean, he's got headaches all over the pitch, and that's a good thing to have. Particularly, one thing that I was talking to my friends about the other day was at centre back. It seems as if we're class at centre back now. Mm. We've got so many different options of quality right through the pitch. Even 6 or 7 years ago, we were playing Russell Martin and a young Grant Hanley at centre back, and it was terrible. So I mean, we'll just get class all over the pitch.
Yeah, Josh is right. I didn't realise the defensive line had been so consistent. There has been an odd change. So if you take Spain in the last three games, if you like, so you take the Spain game, it is, you know, in fact, no, because then Grant Hanley played that one. And then by the next one, he's dropped out and Hendry and Portes are in. And then that was Norway. Then the Georgia game, which is the most recent one, Billy Gilmore started that when he hadn't started the previous ones. And now, like, Shea Adams wasn't available then, and now he is, Josh. So I know what you're saying, but is that not quite tempting to put him in?
Well, I mean, I don't know if she's having the best season, but now...
No, he started the season well for Southampton, I think.
Right, OK, well, I'll take your word for it. But I know Lyndon hasn't played a lot of football either. So, I mean, maybe he does come in. I mean, the thing about Cyprus is that, I don't think there's any need to make changes, but at the same time, I don't think there's any risk in making changes because, you know, with the best, you know, all respect to them, but it is Cyprus, and the way that we are playing right now, we should be able to just put kind of any 11 out of our squad on and go and do the business against them. And then hopefully on Tuesday, you know, come 10 o'clock or whatever, you know, we'll all be buzzing.
Yeah, look, because the notion of an unchanged team, Gordon, means way more at club level when you're playing week to week. You don't necessarily count changes if you're months apart in fixture, but it could well be. You know, we're going back to the 20th of June for the last game. So, you know, 2.5 months. Gunn, Hickey, Robertson, Tierney, Hendry, Porteous, McTominay, McGinn, McGregor, Gilmore, Dykes could very well play.
Wouldn't be surprised. Mark and I have both got Adams in, but Dykes has been playing very well for Scotland, leading the line brilliantly, Gordon. So he might just show that faith. Because Steve Clark strikes me as the kind that, you know, he'll have a chat with the players and say, look, there's great competition here, but go and claim the jersey and I'll keep playing you as long as you're playing well and doing the business. And you can't say anything against Dykes. He's been terrific lately. So I wouldn't be surprised. Look, am I going to be disappointed? No. If I look at the two players, I think Adams is slightly a better player than Dykes, an all-round player. But it's all about the team and the way that Steve Clark's got to set his stall out tomorrow night, the tactics. He might use Dykes a little bit more, maybe just that longer ball for McGinn to go and feed off early or use it late in the game. Adams is a great sub to come on if he is on the bench. So I just think there's plenty of options there. But I think the majority of that team you read there, Gordon, will certainly be the same tomorrow night.
But I think he'll assess the opposition. You know, the difference between my back four and Daz's back three, I think, is huge. I do, because if you're coming up against a Cyprus team, maybe one up front, you really want a more attack-minded player in there instead of a third centre-half. Albeit, that Daz says, Portis, Tierney can step in and Tierney overlaps, but in saying that, you would still want a Ryan Christie or a Stuart Armstrong at the top end of the pitch creating against the poorer sides in this group than you would a centre-half try to dictate play. We've got enough players for me in that centre of the pitch to get a hold of the ball.
Right, OK then. But is, on difficulty level on paper, roughly a home game against Georgia and a away game against Cyprus, are they similar? I mean, even roughly. Play my game.
Say yeah, come on.
Just say yes.
I'm not going to say yeah. I think there's still a huge difference between Georgia and Cyprus in terms of... I think Georgia was a dangerous game for us. I think they've got good players that could punish you. I still do think that. I know the rain played a part in that.
How much of the ball did we have that night?
We're
very good though.
But that's what I'm saying. My point was though, he played the back three that night.
But that's what I'm saying. I think Steve Clark assessed that Georgia could potentially hurt them if they committed too many bodies forward. I think with Cyprus, we saw them at Hampden. We know their record. I don't think you're going to get that. I really don't.
Steve Clark is a stick on to play a back three tomorrow night. Stick on.
Thank you very much to Josh on the line. It's 0141 951 1025. Good time to call. We'll try and get you on next.
Clyde One Super Scoreboard. Hear it. Watch it. Search the YouTube stream now. Taking your calls on Scottish football. 0141 951 1025. This is Clyde One Super Scoreboard.
Right, Mark Wilson and Gordon DL are here. You can get in touch on the phones or on Twitter, so keep your contact coming, please. It's always nice to hear from you. We're going to get the guys a nice full-time teaser in just a second, but I'll give you the nod because I think there's a couple more that I want to add to your list. See, last-minute stewards inquiry. Do you like that? We are on Twitter at Clyde SSB. Alan, for instance, has sent me his team for Scotland tomorrow, which looks good. It looks like a good team, and then you go, well, it's not got Scott McTominay in it, who's not playing for Man United, but we've had this discussion before. Was it 4 goals in his last couple of internationals? Could you possibly?
No, he'll be in it tomorrow.
Right, great.
That's bonkers. I mean, you think McTominay, okay, take it that he's not played a lot of club football, but when he pulls on the Scotland shirt, he certainly shows up, and he's been such a big player throughout this campaign that I'd be amazed if he's not in that starting lineup.
And he went into those games not playing a lot of football either. Maybe he's played even less now, possibly, but he did, didn't he, the last time?
Yeah, he's a big player for Scotland. I know the argument about he's not played a lot of football, but he will definitely be a starter fit tomorrow night.
Goes to show where we are, because remember we relied heavily on him to play that right centre back role for so long and throughout the Euros and stuff like that, because he was so good on the ball. Daz is right about the centre half positions. We're so strong in there just now, you know, got quite a lot of pace in there that we can utilise McTominay in his natural position. We get the best out of him. Goals, he's not a goal scorer, not known for his goals, but he certainly scores a few when he comes along with us. So I'm hoping he's in there tomorrow along with McGregor and Gilmore. We can control loads of the ball and we've got a real attacking threat to our side.
Yeah, I think whoever he puts out, I've got total confidence. It's competition for places, but I just think Steve Clark will know going forward tomorrow night, the team against Cyprus, who will get the job done. I've got every confidence in the manager. We've got to say that as well. I think the manager's doing a terrific job. Come in for a bit of criticism early in his Scotland career, but he's certainly changed the minds of all the doubters, and he's got to be applauded for that. And I am very confident tomorrow night we'll get the job done.
Right, okay, let's set up your full-time teaser question then.
The full-time teaser with Sliding Wardrobe Solutions East Kilbride, teaming up with you for fast turnarounds and competitive prices.
Right, don't forget you can submit your questions and hear them used in the show. fulltime@clyde1.com, that is the address that you need. So thank you to Grant McIver, who sent this one in. It might be McIver. I think I've had this worry before, but there we go. It's a good question. In light of the recent Ballon d'Or nominations, can you name the last 8 Scotsmen who have been nominated for the awards? Now obviously we might go back a bit here. Can you name the last 8 Scotsmen to be nominated for the Ballon d'Or?
McCoist.
I thought you were going to say McTominay there for some reason.
McCoist.
Yes, in 87, I think, Gordon.
87, was it? I thought it was when he won.
1987.
I think so. It doesn't matter. Like, he's on the list.
Law, yeah, he's got to be in there. Dalglish?
No.
Dalglish?
Oh, he's not in the last 8, is he? Right.
Dalglish.
Hansen?
No.
Souness?
Yes, okay, we'll leave it there. So what have you got? Dalglish,
Souness,
McCoist.
And McCoist. That's 3 of 8. So we'll give you to the end of the show. And it's fulltime@clyde1.com. That is the address you need. If you're watching on the live stream, you can see the question up there on the screen as well. Gordon Dale and Mark Wilson are now going to stare at it aimlessly for the next, what are we, half an hour or so. Let's bring in John in Johnston. How's it going, John?
Hi there. Hi, guys. Hi, Mark and Gordon.
All right.
Yeah, fine. Yeah, I've been listening to the show as I usually do, and I just want to say that obviously with Scotland in the precipice of qualifying, and we hope to do, that obviously the Euros the last time we get through in penalties, we didn't score a goal, and we get through in penalties. previous to that, I was 18 years old in 1998, my first flat, my girlfriend at the time, watching the games, the World Cup, thinking this is absolutely brilliant. I didn't think it was going to take another 20, 21 years for Scotland to qualify again. We have a team right now, and I believe, I said to the producer, we've got a small window here with these players that can get to the Euros, maybe get the World Cup, and eventually and get out of a group as well. I don't think we can stretch it further than that right now, but in the next two or three big major tournaments, I think we've got a fantastic chance to do something really, really good.
Mark, what do you make of it?
I think John's got a good point. I think we are at a level now that the big games in this group alone shows that we can progress, obviously, to the tournament first, but if you get the right draw, it's always about the right draw when you get there. Getting ahead of ourselves now, because I've got us there in Germany, but say we get there and we get the right draw, there's no reason why we can't get out a group and progress with these players who are playing in the Premier League.
I like it. Flying ahead of ourselves.
We've got players playing in Italy, you know, we've got a real mix in our squad, different experiences within there that would all contribute to us going further in tournaments. The blueprint's got to be teams like Iceland and Wales in recent years, and Minnows who have got small populations, but when it gets to a tournament, show that if you get a real close squad with a few good match winners, then there's every chance.
Well, no one's in last chance saloon exactly, Gordon, but you know, Callum McGregor's 30, Andy Robertson's 29, I think John McGinn 28, McTominay 26. So they're a good age, and is, I think, the perfect phrase that John uses is a window now. Like I say, it's not, this is not last chance, but not loads and loads of tournaments left would be. You know, I'm talking, you know, like five or six tournaments.
Yeah, for the lads that you're talking about, obviously, and they're key players, the experienced ones, but the way Steve Clark's going about, look at the fact that we could have had Anderson in the squad to
Ben Doak and all that sort of
Ben
stuff.
Ben Doak's and all. So there's a progression coming. There's obviously the younger players are coming through now into the Scotland, and I think Steve Clark, quite rightly so, is probably looking at the future as well, trying to add them in. You'll get a bit of experience introducing them to squads. I think we're in a good place. I know what John's talking about, the fact that the more mature, experienced players, they've not got a lot of tournaments left in them. I certainly think that these guys will be going to Germany. I've no doubt in that, and it won't change my mind. How are we going to do in Germany? I think we've just
got to deal with that somewhere down the line.
I think we've got to be careful with that.
John, do you think so? Is it peak time for a number of these players?
To be honest, I'm actually not going about the age. I'm just saying right now we have an opportunity, because we all know that France had to regenerate their squad. Spain done that, and they weren't featured in tournaments for years and years. We don't have that luxury. But what we have right now is a group of players that could, and let's face it, next year is the Euros, 2 years' time. Now, these guys that we're talking about, McGregor's and all that, they'll be okay for 2 years' time. That's a World Cup. We need to take advantage of what we've got right now. And Steve Clark was... He got his contract extension after a defeat, and people were claiming, oh, this isn't the guy for us. And look where we are now. We need to embrace it. We need to accept it. We need to take it. And hopefully more come on the back of that. More players come on the back of that and want to play Scotland and deliver.
I like it. I like your confidence, John. Let's go to Sean, who's in Greenock. Hi, Sean.
Hi, Ian. Hi, James. Can you hear me?
I can hear you loud and clear.
Thank you very much for having me on, gentlemen. I was saying to your producer, I pretty much agree with Gordon Dier in regards to his Scotland team pick for tomorrow. I think Shea Adams coming in instead of Dykes is just bringing a lot more to football at the minute than what Dykes is. And essentially, I was saying to your producer, I think tomorrow takes care of itself, but come Tuesday when we play England, this England team is full of superstars, young rising stars as well. So I think it'll be a travesty if the English team don't win a major tournament. I think it's a great chance for Scotland to come up and test himself against them.
Oh, listen, we'll let them worry about that in the future. Sean, what about the The Dykes point though, I take your point, and I think most people would sort of edge towards Shea Adams being a better player, if you like. But I mean, only recently you think how important Lyndon Dykes has been. That game in Norway, and he's the one that scores the equaliser. You look at the shift that he put in against Spain. You know, the shift that he's put in some of these games before. Is it not tempting to lean on that?
He's not a bad fallback option. He's been very pivotal for Scotland in the last year or so, Lyndon Dykes, so it's no down talk on him whatsoever. I just think Shea Adams brings a lot more to our football team.
Agree?
I do agree. I think Shea Adams is a better all-round player. I think he's got better attributes than Lyndon Dykes. Mm-hmm. However, I would then contradict that by saying I think Lyndon Dykes has maybe gave us more in a Scotland shirt than Shea Adams has. Okay. I think back to it, was it the home game against Cyprus, where remember it was that sticky afternoon, it was boring to watch, and all of a sudden
they swapped on 58 minutes.
Yeah,
I actually think that was that not the is that when is that when Shea Adams' injury started, actually?
I think it was. So Dykes and Christie come on, I'm sure, and things just clicked into place and we looked a better side. Where I'm in the team, so I'm contradicting myself a wee bit, because Adams, I think I've got Adams in my team for tomorrow. But Dykes would feel hard done by being left out.
Especially, Gordon, if you're to accept, is Spain the high point? Is that the high point of what Scotland have done in recent seasons? And Dykes played that night.
Mm-hmm.
And he has started the last three, but granted, you know, Shea Adams wasn't available. So, nice problem to have.
Brilliant. Brilliant problem. And if you manage it well, it's fine. And I'm sure it will be with the two players, whoever has been picked, because you can make such an importance coming off the bench. You can be an important player to that squad if it's not going right tomorrow night, for instance, which I don't expect it to happen. But if it's not going right, you've always got one of those two players to come on, make an instant impact, get you a goal or whatever. Look, if Dykes is left out tomorrow night, if I was Dykes, I'd feel a little bit disappointed as well. I think he's added a lot to his game. I think he's brought so much to the team, as you read out there, Gordon. But I just look at Adams and I'm thinking, if I was going to play my strongest side, I think Adams is a better all-round player.
He's not played any of QPR's last three, though. I think that was certainly injury to begin with. I can't remember if he came back into the squad at all. Actually, I don't think he did, you know.
It's odd as well that none of us have got both of them playing in the same side.
Which is possible.
Because remember, was it back in the Euros? Is that my memory served me right? That we played two of them in the same team and we continually went long, and it just didn't work. It didn't look like it suited the team. Don't think we got anywhere. Don't think we progressed in any way. And Steve Clark has quickly binned that idea. But you think Cyprus away, the kind of minnows of the group, would they go with just two out-and-out attackers and scrap my team and Daz's team?
No.
Okay.
In a word. So okay. You're confident, though, Sean, either way?
I am confident, but quietly confident. I don't like being overly confident like Mr. Wilson has been tonight.
Yeah, he's getting carried away, isn't he?
That must be the only show that I get shot down for being confident. See, if I was on here being negative, pessimistic, you'd be on slaughter me for that as well, Sean.
You need to calm down. Thank you, Sean and Greenock, 01419511025. Let me steal your pen.
Oh, sorry.
Just quick. No, it's yours. I'm the one that should apologise. In light of the recent Ballon d'Or nominations, can you name the last eight Scotsmen who've been nominated for the award? You've given me, what have you got so far?
We've got Alan McCoys, Kenny Dalglish and Graham Souness.
Uh-huh.
Archie Gemmell.
Yep.
Oh,
four. Gordon, I'll take a guess from you.
McCoys, was it? Wait, Mo Johnson won?
No.
Joe Jordan.
No.
Joe Jordan? No. I thought you would be a stick on.
Joe Jordan. You're looking for an odd. Strachan was not one.
Bremner.
Strachan is one.
Is he?
Yeah.
Oh, I told you.
All right, leave it there then, and we will get the rest of the answers, I hope, next.
Clyde One Super Scoreboard. Listen and watch. Check the Twitter feed at Clyde SSB. Number one for football in Glasgow and the West. 0141 951 1025. Clyde One Super Scoreboard.
Gordon DL and Mark Wilson are still going strong in the studio here for another 15 minutes or so. So keep the calls and the tweets coming as well. A sensational amount of feedback on Instagram for your ab sale today. Honestly, what can we get you to do next?
Aye, let's think of what we can.
I've completed a skydive. Yeah. You have completed the ab sale. We've done the zip line.
Yeah.
The only I've got one more up my sleeve that you've not done yet that I did. You didn't bungee jump.
I couldn't.
Off the Titan crane.
So one thing I couldn't do.
You've done the skydive.
No. I couldn't do it. See, even getting up there today and I'm thinking, could you imagine this was I'm not getting off of there. I'm not getting off of there.
Bungee jump.
There's not a chance
for the kids.
I love the kids. I'm here for them. But I think I've done my bit. I'm certainly no bungee.
Water skiing, something like that, wakeboarding, something like that. Get them wet.
Especially as beak hitting the ground. There's no chance that's happening.
This is the last
drill.
This is the last time we'll speak to you before your big outing at the weekend in the Masters. How you feeling?
Feeling fit? I'm feeling fit. I'm raring to go. Don't know if many other players would be abseiling off a crane 2 days before the game, but I'm looking forward to it.
Tell you what, it's got a new Clive on Super Scoreboard theme, so. The Celtic team, who's winning this, Gordon? Right, ready? Right. I'll quickly go through them. Cool. Celtic team: Doris de Vries in goals,
good goalie.
Yeah, that's same beat.
Mark Wilson and Kelvin Wilson at the back,
the Wilson brothers.
Simon Donnelly, one of ours. Joe Ledley and Chris Commons, and then Mark Burchill and Gary Hooper. Right,
okay.
That's the Celtic offering. Rangers offering to compare: goalkeeper TBC.
It could be anybody.
Yeah. I think I know who it is, but I better not give it away.
Right. Do you?
Yeah. No,
tell us after this.
Alan Hutton and Morris Ross. Alan Hutton fit as anything. Lee McCulloch, Barry Ferguson, Graham Dorans, Chris Boyd, Kenny Miller.
Is Dorans not still playing?
Still play Johnston Borough, I think, did he not? Yeah.
That can't be allowed.
Who's winning that game?
Out of those two.
Oh, well, Rangers will score goals, but if you have a look at who's at the back.
True.
De Vries and Wilson.
Right, and can you see the big two being upset by this? Hibs team, or Hearts first, right?
Right, Hearts.
Roddy McKenzie in goal. Pascali Bruno and Andy Webster. Yeah. Ryan Stevenson, Colin Cameron.
Oh, he's as fat as anything we've been calling.
Is he a teammate of yours?
Medi Towell.
Oh.
He's going to be busy, isn't he? He's going to be stepovers and
doing the wing.
And Josie Katongo and Ian Black.
That's not.
That'll have good legs, energy in there. No great ability, but.
Horsey's the same age as you,
isn't he? Good skill.
Last but not least, he has got good skill. Hibs. Right. Alan Combe.
Oh, I used to play with Comer.
Marvin Bartley.
Oh, he'll have his Queen of South tracksuit on. How's he got to get there?
He'll be fitter than the rest of you.
I know.
We have a gallon of water.
Ian Murray.
Mm.
Oh, Ivan nice Sproul.
Oh, he'll be a budge
ball. Oh, is Ivan Sproul in your team?
Mm-hmm. Dean Shields.
Then a Grant Holt, Colin Nish and Derek Riordan.
By the way, that's physical up front. Barca Deke.
That's a three.
Deke will be shooting through the halfway line. That's what he used to shout. It's a smoke this in the top corner.
That's a three ball. It's not going to move. I'll tell you what, I'm going to go, right? I'm going
team.
To go and we'll see him next week.
Right.
I will say Hearts.
Seriously?
Will come out winners. Yeah.
Hearts?
Yeah.
Hi. Seriously?
Yeah. I think they've got. Black,
right,
black.
How much do you want to bet?
Black. I'll tell you what.
Cash for kids.
Please gamble responsibly.
Cash for kids.
We'll have
wager.
A coffee on it. I'll bet your Hearts finish above you.
Not a chance.
Guaranteed.
I'm not sure.
You're joking.
I'm not sure.
If Big Webster doesn't get injured in the warm up, right?
Have you seen Mark Burchill recently? Burchill looks fitter now than he did when
Colin
he played.
Colin Cameron's Hooper. Doing marathons. Ian Black will take a few. Out.
What's he going to do? Run 26 mile run Brayhead?
Oh yeah, round the
There's
circle.
A ball involved.
No.
So he can run or run.
Colin Cameron was a Scottish internationalist. What are you talking about?
But you're telling me he's running marathons.
He's
that
he's as fit as anything. And 55
that's year
good,
old.
They're a good balance to that noise now. He's younger than you.
Are you going? You want to come?
When is it?
It's Saturday night, Brayhead, isn't it?
Nah, I think I'll leave.
It's on
one.
The TV.
I wonder, do you honestly think my Saturday night's got to consist of sitting down? Oh, I wonder what I'll watch tonight. Oh, I've got a good idea. Stick on that TV.
What are you going to do instead?
He's got a new app. He's got a new app in his phone. He's got.
Oh, he was telling us about that earlier. It wasn't his new app. That's right. That's probably not for this show, I must admit. David in Edinburgh. Sorry, David. Carry on. Take it away.
Gordon, good evening. I'm just phoning. I tried to get on a Monday night. To speak about the game. Now, I'm not going over all ground. what I will say is good luck for Scotland tomorrow.
Mm-hmm.
And also I'll say that Michael Beale is a lucky man to still be in the job. Not because I don't like the man, because I think he's a smashing person, but unfortunately the Ibrox board have taken the easy option and not appointing a top manager. We have the money to get a top manager, but we've decided, no, we'll get somebody that we already know, we trust them, but the problem is, we don't know whether we're playing association football or strictly come dancing.
Well, listen,
quick slow.
Maybe that's what Gordon Dale could watch tomorrow, a Saturday night, if he's about. I don't know if it's still on at this time of year, but well, look, it's Thursday, and the fallout from this game is still going. Still, David, and David tried to make his point earlier in the week, he said, but still, you know, Michael Beale's getting it in the neck. Is that understandable? Or?
Yeah, yeah, and he will until, who's their next one, St Johnstone away. He's still got a bit of criticism. He's got a lot to prove to the Rangers supporters. Look, when Michael Beale came in at first, I wasn't too sure of the appointment, I've got to admit, right? But Rangers board of directors decided that's the way to go. He's a great coach. He's worked it before. The players know him. I've not seen any of that. But this is where I stop. I think it's too early to turn around and say Michael Beale's got to lose his job. They've just backed him with 9-10 players in the summer. He's lost a lot of good quality, a lot of good experience. The results and some of the performances have been really disappointing. I take that on board. But I think he's got to be given an opportunity.
Here's the thing, because this was kind of floated the other night, and I know that, look, this is, regardless of what you think about Rangers at Ibrox on Sunday, and this is still long odds. However, you say that tonight, what would you say if Michael Beale lost or even dropped points in just one more game, that away game at St Johnstone?
I think if he dropped points in St Johnstone, he's out the door.
So, you see what I mean? How can those two? It does feel like those two opinions coexist.
No, that's not my opinion. I still would probably.
Or you'd stick with him if he lost at the Denver Park.
I would run with Michael Beale for a little while yet. Yeah,
Mark. But how long? Where does the line get drawn then? Because we're talking hypotheticals. If that happened, and you're saying, like, well,
Rangers still going to that game, huge favourites, and may well win it.
Yeah. Then the warning signs would have already been there. The point I'm getting to, the uproar for the fans is already there before you even get to that stage. So what difference does it make? I often wonder if Michael Beale's looking at this thinking he's fortunate that the breaks came now, because if they did go into a game right away, which a lot of players and managers want to do to try and eradicate that bad performance, then if they just scraped over the line with a poor performance, Rangers fans would still be.
Yeah, but you've been at that level that we've never. Surely you guys have more belief in that, and actually it's the opposite, because he would have had the chance to get a lot of this negativity away by just winning the next game quickly rather than 2 weeks for everyone to stew over it.
Yeah. But what I mean is, if the next game came Saturday and it wasn't vintage, but they still won, I think the flak would still intensify. Maybe gives play. This week, it's been there. The calls have been coming in. Next week, I don't expect many calls. Maybe I'll be wrong, leading up to the St Johnstone game. And it might be different. It might find the pressure off a wee bit, rather than if he played just now and they won. That's if they won the game and it wasn't impressive and players were still underperforming. The Rangers fans would still be firing flat.
That's true, Gordon, but it just feels if you're a glass half full type, which you probably need to be in football management, he would have much rather have had the chance to win a game, and because people are going to talk about that defeat for 2 weeks, which they wouldn't be able to do that if they had played this midweek and won.
He obviously, the international break's not come at a good time for him. I just think, Gordon, just now, we're getting 4 or 5 games into the season. Managers are losing their job. Fans are in an uproar because new signings aren't hitting the ground running. I take on board the size of the club. You can flip that round. If Brendan Rodgers had lost on Sunday and then lost the next league game, would he have been sacked? No, he wouldn't. And that's why I'm saying Michael Beale. Mm. You look at Aberdeen, you look at Hearts just now. Fans are crying out, some of them, just now putting pressure on Barry Robson and obviously the two guys at Hearts because of the start of the season. We've already had a manager sacked in Hibs. I think we just need to settle some down. I can understand frustration, but settle down.
I wonder if we'll get any movement on Hibs tomorrow or in the coming days. Thank you to David. Right, let's round off this teaser. Thanks again to the folks at Sliding Wardrobe Solutions in East Kilbride for helping out as well. The last eight Scots have been nominated for the Ballon d'Or. McCoist, Strachan, Souness, Dalglish. Is that all you've given?
I'm going to go.
Yeah. Is it? Quick, hurry up.
Gordon McQueen won?
Nope.
How far back Gemmel, as well.
Oh, you gave us who, sorry?
Gemmel.
Yeah.
Well done. John Gregg?
No.
Willie Miller?
No.
McLeish?
No.
Strikers, I take it?
No. Well, yeah, but what about a well-known Celtic midfielder of the mid-80s?
Paul McStay?
Yes.
John Collins?
No.
No. He
what,
was good.
I got Paul McStay.
What about a Scot that ended up at Barcelona?
Oh, Archibald.
Stevie Archibald.
Oh, I forgot about Stevie Archibald.
I will try and keep up.
Yeah, come on, hurry up.
One more to get.
1981, I think.
Oh, that's your era. You also played against him.
81. Who did you play for?
A few teams. Ipswich, Liverpool.
John Wark?
Yeah, John Wark.
I wouldn't have got that. Well done, Daz.
Well, there, thank you very much to Gordon DL and Mark Wilson. Thank you for your calls and your tweets and for keeping us company tonight on Clyde One Super Scoreboard. Huge night tomorrow, and to reflect that, we've got an extended show. We are here until 10 o'clock, hopefully basking in the glory of an important Scotland win with Hugh Keevans and Kenny Miller, 69 Scotland caps between them. What more could you want? We will see you then, and Callum Gallagher is up next.